Good morning. We're going to be talking about wisdom again. And I got to tell you that yesterday I had cramps in the back of my legs right here. And I don't know if you've ever experienced it, but it can be really painful. And I mean, it was the kind of cramps that could make a grown man cry. And so I called Nay to come up and rub this ointment on the back of my leg, you know, and last night was one night to remember. But as a result of that, I drank a lot of liquids, you know, and so now I have to think about the practical matter of drinking a lot of liquids may mean I need to get to use the bathroom again. So anyway, I'm just trying to let you know that even in situations like this, there's a practical side of wisdom and trying not to trying to take care of things. So if you hear me yelling, that means that there's probably a cramp that's coming up here. Anyway, we've been in the book of James, and we've been talking about this theme. If our faith is real, then it will manifest itself in a changed life. We're just saying that if we really have a relationship with God, then the values of God, what matters to God, will be evident in our lives and in our behavior. And in the past few weeks, Benji has shared about the importance about not showing favoritism, that God cares for all people. He did a great job about talking about saving faith and a living faith that is accompanied by good deeds, and that faith without works is dead. And last week, he shared a great message about how James gave us another example of putting faith into action by showing us the importance of not having a double-minded tongue, right? But this morning, we're going to circle back to this subject of wisdom. And if you've been here long enough, I think you know that we think wisdom is so important, that wisdom is something that every person should have. And I've already preached a message on wisdom on James 1, and I called it Getting Wisdom. And I think the teaching team echoes this idea of the book of Proverbs that says, do all you can to get wisdom. And so Proverbs 4, 7 through 9 says this: the beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. Though it costs all you have, get understanding. Cherish her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown. Wisdom is given a personification of a woman. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And so in this passage that we will be diving into this morning, James actually picks up this theme of wisdom again and clarifies that there is a difference between the wisdom that comes from God and the wisdom that comes from this world, that is part of this world, and that it is critical to know the difference between the two. The ancient Hebrews, the Hebrew writers in the Old Testament, I think they understood something about wisdom that I don't think people here in the 21st century really grasp. We think of wisdom as insight and understanding that helps us to live life well by putting wisdom practices, principles into action, right? And probably because I probably said that, you know? I think all of us, right, we want to live life well, don't we? Right? Okay, we want to be wise and we want to value wisdom. But I think these ancient writers, James and the apostles, the prophets and the patriarchs, understood that wisdom is more than just about living life well. Wisdom is understanding how things are connected, and wisdom understands that God created all things in this world, including mankind, and that living life can only happen when we live in a relationship with this God and in harmony with his purposes. They saw life as a pathway on a journey where the relationship with God is an integral part of walking on this pathway. True wisdom begins with God. So Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Proverbs 14:27 says this, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning a person from the snares of death." So he's trying to emphasize that the relationship with God is critical. The journey isn't just about this life. The wisdom pathway you choose leads to a destination. Ultimately, it is a destination of with God or without God. And so that's why it is so important to talk about this pathway. Did you notice that I said wisdom pathway? That your choices lead you to a destination. So then there must be more than one pathway, right? One type of wisdom. And yes, this is what James is going to talk about today, that he wants us to understand that there is this godly wisdom and then there's this worldly wisdom. And people are either walking in one or the other path. And I'm praying today that you will clearly understand which pathway we are walking on. Because I think in this world, there are many people who don't know that they're walking on a pathway that is leading them to a destination that they don't want to be on. I'm going to circle back to this thought again, but I wanted you to see that wisdom is not just insight and understanding to help us live life well, but a pathway on this journey of life that leads to a destination. And there are many people who don't know what that destination is. So let's dive into James. It's in James chapter 3, if you have your Bibles. We're going to pick it up at verse 13, and we're going to go to 18. It's just six verses. The first verse that we're going to cover is 13, and it's just basically a statement that James is making. And then he's going to contrast from 14 to 16. He's going to show us what worldly wisdom is like, and then from 17 to 18, he's going to show us what godly wisdom is. So he starts in verse 13 with a question. Who is wise and understanding among you? But really, what he wants to do is make a statement about that. He's saying, who is wise among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. It's the same theme that we've been talking about faith, right? Anything that is real should have evidence of its reality. If you have faith, then your life should reveal that you have this faith. We should demonstrate that faith. And James is transitioning this idea to true wisdom, that there will be proof that you have wisdom, that you have proof that you have wisdom when you have a good life. This good life speaks of a lifestyle that is consistent with goodness. It means it's not like looking at photographs, but it's more like looking at a video of a person's life. And what you see is consistent with a good life. The video shows that there's good behavior, there's conduct, that there are good deeds, that you are living a life of wisdom. Notice something here. In that passage, it says, let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. What does that mean? Humility comes from wisdom. So let's go back to that verse again, Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. If we really believe that God is the creator, that he created all things, the planets, the stars, the galaxies, the whole universe, I mean, and it is huge, right? And that he created mankind. We can be pretty sure that if we were able to come in to the presence of God, his visible presence, his dwelling presence, we would be in such awe, right? To be before a holy, beautiful, perfect being, pure. Don't you think that? I mean, we would feel like we come before him and we should feel unraveled because he's so pure and we are not. And this is what the prophet Isaiah felt when he was actually given an opportunity to go into the throne room of God. This is what he cried out. He says, "Woe to me, I am ruined. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Whew. He is so acutely aware of his own sinfulness and the purity and the holiness of God. And if he had any ounce of superiority before that, all that pride and hubris is washed away by coming face to face with Yahweh Almighty. I bring this up because don't you think that we have lost sight of how great and awesome and mighty God is? We don't experience the fear of God, the fear of the Lord anymore. There's something about being with somebody who is the creator of the whole universe. And we, being who we are, that we should be, in awe and trembling. I think we would just bow prostrate. We've lost that. And I would say shame on us, really. Because it affects the way we live our lives. That God does not become as significant. We become so used to, of course he's a great God. When we understand who God really is, that he is not just the creator of the universe, but his character is so holy, so good, so pure, so merciful and compassionate, so indescribable, I think we would fall on our knees before him. And yet, don't we sometimes come into the worship service and we are supposed to be praising God, but our mind is elsewhere? We've lost this awe of God. And I think that if we understood that, we would just want to bow down prostrate before him. We would quit comparing ourselves with other people. We would quit being so impressed with ourselves, and we would walk humbly before our God. I would like to be like that, wouldn't you? I think it would change the way we see people, and more importantly, I think it would change the way we see ourselves. As I was looking at this, I can tell you, God has convicted me of my own pride and hubris. I pray that he would do that for all of us. That when we really understand who God is and we are his servants, then it changes things. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So in verse 14, James now transitions to something else. He transitions to something, a different kind of wisdom. Verse 14, look at it. It says, "But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice." But listen, James is telling his readers that if they harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in their hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. What is envy? Envy is like comparing yourself with others and wanting what they have. Now, this envy list can go long. Envy can be about somebody else's talents. It can be about material possessions. It can be about success, or the prestige someone has, or the achievements, or a job, or promotions, etc. This envy list goes on and on. But the envy that is described here is so strong that this desire, this envy, causes a bitterness in a person's heart that they want it so bad. Bitter envy. And you know, bitterness is an unresolved problem, right? That's what causes bitterness. It's an unresolved problem that it isn't resolved. And if you have such bitter envy, then it comes with a twin companion, selfish ambition. That's what James says. Selfish ambition becomes about you. It becomes about your gain, your prestige, your accomplishment, and ultimately it becomes all about you and what you want. James is saying, if you recognize that you have this bitter envy and this selfish ambition, then he says, don't boast about it or don't deny it. That's an interesting thing, right? I think it's because James is saying no one is perfect. He understands that we are frail, but that if you have this in your heart, then don't boast about it. Don't act with pride and hubris, right? So don't boast about it, or don't deny the truth. If you recognize there's this thing inside of you that is wrong, don't deny it. Bring it out and confess it. When you sin, or when you are in a place where you shouldn't be, boasting about it actually keeps you from really dealing with sin, the sin. But if you deny the truth, then you are in a dangerous place because you're trying to rationalize away your sin. And that sin will harden your heart and hinder your ability to be convicted by sin. When you harden your heart, it's very difficult for you to be convicted of sin. That's why we've said this many times in the service. If you are not being convicted by God in your heart, then be careful. You want to have a heart that can hear and respond to God. I want to encourage you on this. James is telling his readers that such a condition of the heart is not a demonstration of the wisdom that comes from heaven, but rather this wisdom is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Now, this Greek word for demonic is used only here in the entire New Testament, and it's a pretty strong word. What it says is that everything demonic is, it proceeds from evil spirits. It is devilish. It proceeds from Satan and his demons. That worldly wisdom will reflect the spiritual forces of this world. This wisdom will reflect worldly wisdom will reflect man's wisdom. This wisdom will reflect man's desires. This wisdom will reflect the dark spiritual forces of this world. And it is no wonder that James is saying this wisdom is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Now, James warns his readers, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice. Ooh. James is warning them that this worldly wisdom has consequences. What are the consequences? Disorder in evil practices. It means that wrong thinking produces wrong living. So now James is going to transition to contrasting the wisdom of this world with the wisdom that comes from above. Verse 17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Now notice, the wisdom that comes from heaven is a wisdom that comes from God. If the wisdom comes from God, then you would expect this wisdom to reflect the nature of God, right? God is holy. He is utterly pure. He is without sin. He is without evil. Think about this. Do you think a perfect pure being could be anything less than he is? He cannot be anything less than he is if he is this pure being. He cannot be who he is not. God's wisdom means that as we submit to him, we should become actually more like him. You know, in relationships, right? You have a husband and wife, right? We start off as two people, but when they get married, they start to influence each other, and you can see the other person through your life, and they can see how you are like through the other person's life. But God is perfect and pure. The only thing that can happen is we can become more like him. And shouldn't we want to be more like him? I mean, don't you want to be pure? Right? Look at the rest of what comes from this godly wisdom. Is there anything that James says that comes from godly wisdom that you wouldn't desire in his life? Okay? In your life. Peace-loving. Considerate. Submissive. Okay, some women might say something about that, but full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. And by the way, that submissive is the idea of to be able to get along, this gentleness, this way of being with people. And it doesn't apply to just women. It applies to everybody, right? Amen. But look at verse 18. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. People who walk in this wisdom, this godly wisdom, will reap a harvest of righteousness. Now, some of us don't really know what that really means, right? But James is using an agricultural metaphor, right? That when you sow seeds, then you reap what comes out of those seeds, a harvest, right? And do you realize that in all of life, believers and unbelievers are sowing and reaping? All of us, believers and unbelievers, are sowing and reaping. It's a matter of what you're sowing. Are you sowing heavenly seeds or worldly seeds? Is it spiritual or unspiritual? Is it heavenly or hellish? Everybody is sowing seeds. And James has laid out before us these two kinds of wisdom, a wisdom that comes from the world and a wisdom from God. And he has shown us what comes from a worldly wisdom and what comes from a godly wisdom. So as he has done this, right, if you're listening to me and if you are a follower of Jesus, wouldn't you look at it and say, of course I choose godly wisdom. I mean, it's so obvious, right? Of course I choose godly wisdom. It's so clear when you contrast the two. Disorder, peace, right? In fact, you think to yourself, anyone who really looks at these two and you compare the two and contrast the two would pick godly wisdom over worldly wisdom, right? But the reality is, in this world, there are way more people who choose worldly wisdom over godly wisdom. And I say that with a pain in my heart. There are people, I want them so much to understand godly wisdom, and yet they chose worldly wisdom. And let me give you some verses that speak to this. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. There's a way that seems like it's a righteous way, but the end leads to death. Matthew 7:13, Jesus said this, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. He's trying to say that this small, narrow road, there aren't as many people, but this broad road, there are many people who follow after, and it is the following after of the worldly wisdom. We live in a world where mankind would like to replace God's wisdom, actually replace God with their own worldly wisdom. I mean, I struggle with that reality. I want people to come to know the Lord, to come to understand God's wisdom. But we live in a world that people want to replace godly wisdom with their own wisdom, man-made wisdom, a wisdom that is part of this world. So I want to circle back to what I was saying earlier, that wisdom isn't just insight and the understanding to live life well. Wisdom is more than that. Wisdom is the way you think. Wisdom affects the choices that you make in this life. Wisdom is a pathway on the journey of life that has a destination, okay? Many people think that they are neutral toward God. But what they really are, they are indifferent toward God. There's a big difference. They think that they are neutral toward God. Well, I'm not really following after God, but I'm not following after the opposite of that. But really, what they're saying is they're indifferent to God. Okay? That indifference to God can eventually harden a person's heart toward God. And when you have a hardened heart, it becomes hard for you to be convicted by God. A hardened heart. In the Old Testament, the children of Israel were known so oftentimes for hardening their hearts. They were not able to receive from the prophets instruction and correction. They rejected it, and they killed off the prophets. Wisdom is a pathway on the journey of life that has a destination. We should be very careful to guard our heart. So humanity has a way of repeating what we see in the first pages of Genesis. Will human beings believe what God says is true and good, or will they follow their own desires and disobey God? Will they follow the wisdom of God, or will they follow the wisdom of men? And while we see it in the fall where Adam and Eve are faced with that, and they see the thing that was forbidden from them, they say they want it, and they eventually eat the fruit. In the same way, we are making those same type of choices. So I want to give you the difference and make it very clear to you, the wisdom of God versus the wisdom of this world. The wisdom of God comes from God and is revealed to humanity. The wisdom of the world comes from fallen demons and deceives humanity. The wisdom of God is a pathway of obedience to God. The wisdom of the world is a pathway of rebellion and rejection of God. The wisdom of God, the destination is eternal life in heaven. The wisdom of the world, destination is eternal death and hell itself. The wisdom of God aligns God's desires with ours. The wisdom of the world aligns our own desires. The wisdom of God views, when you are in the wisdom of God, you view yourself, your view of yourself becomes smaller and your view of God becomes larger. In the wisdom of the world, your view of yourself becomes larger and your view of God becomes smaller. The wisdom of God calls to all, repent, come to Him, deny yourself, and live for God. The wisdom of the world calls to all, find yourself and live for yourself. The wisdom of God is embodied in Jesus Christ, our sacrifice for sin. The wisdom of the world is embodied in anything and everything, whatever that can separate you from God. So you see why the pathway of the wisdom of the world is wide, because it encompasses anything. There is no truth that is exclusive. What is truth? If that's your truth, then that's okay with us, as long as you have some kind of truth. But in the wisdom of God, that truth is embodied in Jesus Christ. There's an interesting thing. Hebrews 9, 27 and 28 says this. Just as people are destined to die once, and after that to face judgment. I want to just stop right there. Just as people are destined to die once, and after that to face judgment. That means that all of us, barring Jesus coming back, are going to die. Okay? But after this, there's a judgment. So verse 28 says this. So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. So one day, all people are going to face judgment. And on that day, it will become apparent that there are only two kinds of people. There are yes God people and no God people. No, N-O. Yes God people will stand before God knowing that their sins have been judged on the cross. Our sins were nailed on the cross with him. And we understood that. We understand that if we try to stand before God on our own merit, we would be undone. We would be unraveled. But the no God people will stand before God confident that their sins are judged and they will come out all right. And that's a scary place to be. I want to end with just this passage in Ephesians because I think it reflects this whole thing that is being brought up about worldly wisdom versus godly wisdom. Ephesians chapter 2, and I'd like you guys to try to go back and read it, but I'm going to just read this. Ephesians chapter 2, in verses 1 through 3, it says this, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. This whole thing about earthly, unspiritual, demonic, that's the way we lived. That's the way we all have lived. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. We understood that living like that deserves wrath. There's judgment. Look at verse 4. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace we have been saved, or you have been saved. Doesn't that give you a sense of incredible joy? That you recognize that we were dead in our sins, and this holy God actually made us alive again. That we have been saved by grace. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus in order that in the coming ages he must show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. It isn't something you could do. It is something God did through Christ on the cross. It's a wisdom that Christ is the wisdom of God. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, I want to say this. Even in the Old Testament, they talked about God, that he was an eternal God. He was a forever God. And that he wanted to live forever with his people. There were people who understood that even though this life is temporal, that there is a forever. And in it, they wanted to walk in a way that was godly, in a way that was God's wisdom, so that they could be with God forever. There is a destination that this life brings us to at the end of our lives. Do we want to live with God or without God? There are brazen people that will say, I don't need God. But there are a lot of people who sometimes don't understand that just doing your own thing, that I'm not harming the church or I'm not against the church or anything like that, but being indifferent to God, we don't understand that he is the creator and he deserves, he is worthy of our lives to him, that we were created for that purpose, that we were created for that purpose to live in harmony and in relationship with him. Don't we want to walk in the wisdom of God? You know, I've said this and I'm going to say this again. The fear of the Lord is lost within us. We don't see God as awesome as he is. We've relegated him to just a service that we sing songs to him. And then we leave the walls of the church and kind of, we may have devotionals or anything, but we don't realize how awesome and great God is. And if we did, it would change our attitudes. It would change the way we view things. We would then become so less significant, and God would become more significant. But the wisdom of this world makes you, makes me, the center, and all the other things become peripheral. I want to tell you, we need to repent of that type of thinking. We need to come to that place where God is first. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it pains me to talk about eternity and a destination apart from you, Lord, and the people that take that path of walking a worldly wisdom where people really are indifferent to you. Maybe they're actively opposed to you, but they're indifferent, and how that indifference will cause a hardening of heart. And we see it in every generation, people who find the ways of the world to be more enticing than the ways of God. But Lord Jesus, help us to understand that. Help us to let people understand that that can lead to a life, eternity, without God. Lord Jesus, I pray for every person that has listened to this, Lord, that they will choose to walk in the wisdom of God, that they will find life, not death. They will find an alignment with your purposes, not walking away from your purposes, that we are God's handiwork. Help us to be that, I pray. In Christ's name, amen.